We're going live. All right, and we're live.
Yeah, because you're
back.
The one that needs it, not me, obviously. Yeah, right.
All right, pre-recording conversation spilling over. What's up, everyone? Welcome back to the LoopCast. Today, I'm joined by my co-host, Josh, and we are graced with Logan again, our special guest from last Monday. Welcome back, Logan. And happy St. Patrick's Day to everyone. Didn't get to wish that. Did you guys were responsible, of course, right?
Of course.
Naturally.
Josh, you're not Irish at all.
No, but my wife is, so all my kids are, right? And so we all had good times celebrating. And, you know, it's funny because my wife is Irish and I'm not, but we both have one thing we agree on. We don't like any of the typical, stereotypical Irish beers. So no Guinness.
Oh, Josh.
No Killian's Red.
It
was like, okay.
Oh, my gosh.
And so
Rolling
I don't
Rock.
Know if this got me in trouble, but I bought beer that was in an orange can. So felt very Protestant of me, but the kids liked it, you know.
Well, what do you mean kids like? You didn't give the beer to the kids, right?
Of course, you got it. What do you mean?
You said kids liked it. I was like, you're buying fruity orange beers and giving them to your
no,
kids
it was,
instead of
it was
drinking Guinness
like a man.
No, it was not
a fruity beer. It was an amber ale. And yeah, let my kids have the taste of beer. I mean, you got to start these kids young on this stuff so that they don't get reckless and go crazy. It's like,
oh, I'm actually completely...
You want to have a sip or two of beer? You do it in my house, okay?
Yep, I'm completely on that train. No, that's not what I meant at all. That was more of a dig at your manhood. But I actually...
Everyone always says that, too. It's like, If I like... They're like, I don't like that. I don't like fruity beers. I'm more masculine. Dude, okay, sure. But look at me. I don't mind a beer like a cherry wheat. Like, what's the problem with this? Everyone's like... And you always get on me with this, Tom. You're like... Your coffee, you put so much creamer in it.
Oh,
I
can't
stand it.
You can't.
You need black coffee, put hair in your chest. Let me tell you, don't got to worry about anything, guys.
Josh, all your credibility is about to go out the window. Yeah, but Josh, all your credibility is going to go out the window because he's got his little hazelnut creamer that he puts in his Keurig, which is just mulled water, basically. Like, if anyone wants to, oh my gosh, we're getting comments now on this. Look, but this is all beside the points because Logan could probably drink both of us under the table easily. That's probably correct, right?
100%.
Yeah,
I'd say, I mean, I am Irish, so I mean,
she's
I
got
bring
the red hair
best.
Too. Yeah, right. We
I
can't compete with that.
How do you think the Irish got the red hair? It's because the Vikings. Okay, I mean, come on.
Okay, Josh. actually, funny. My wife and I, we just went and got one Guinness. All we wanted was one Guinness. I think we drank about half of it, and then dumped the rest in our crock pot, and then made stew for the next day. So we were very efficient. It was very good.
So Tom's questioning your manhood, but what I just heard is he couldn't finish a beer by him.
Oh, no. Logan's about to diss me, but her... Hey, you know, we're old now. We got a kid.
Did I freeze
okay,
on my
diss? Okay, so we I think... Yeah, you freeze on your diss. I think I did it on purpose, actually. I kind of jammed your signal you couldn't get it in.
Yeah, obviously.
So happy St. Patrick's Day to all the Irish out there. We actually had a great homily at our church. It's funny, like St. Patrick was such an amazing saint and evangelized much of Ireland. And what is celebrated secularly is celebrating the sins of Ireland, basically, overconsumption of alcohol and over excess consumption. And yet St. Patrick himself, such a holy man. And so it's like good to remember during this time to actually pray to St. Patrick, like the real St. Patrick, because there is a real St. Patrick. It's not just the time where they dye the river green in Chicago. Amazing saint. So, you know, we pray for his intercession and remember him by this time. Well, we got to get into the topics for the weekend. Actually, but you know what? Before that, let's, Logan, you teased this before. You're hanging out with somewhat of a celebrity over the weekend. Is that correct?
Yeah, so I got to spend my Saturday night with the Riley Gaines, which was great. Yeah, she came in for a fundraiser for the local Republican Party where I live. And so I was actually bouncing back and forth between that and another charity event that was 7 minutes away. So I was like hopping in and out of both events. And she was so down to earth. It was so much fun. And we were the youngest people there. And so we bonded over that.
Yeah, Riley is actually a LoopCast alumnus. She was interviewed right after she got attacked being in San Francisco. And I just thought...
Okay, so you never took Latin. You talked about having Latin before.
Josh, people have been giving me such a hard time about mispronouncing things.
She's a woman. Come on, and the whole thing, her whole point is the battle of gender. Let's get the gender right. Come on, man. I just got to have a little fun with you.
I got this guy. I'm not exaggerating. I have a guy emailing me after every show saying that I say me and Mercer instead of Mercer and I. I'm not exaggerating every show for the last three shows. And it makes me want to mispronounce things more, which is probably a character flaw of mine. But if I could make the point I was trying to make, even improperly, according to Josh's standards and probably English, she seemed just like a genuinely wonderful person. Was so supportive of everything we were doing at Catholic Vote. Truly courageous, but just a really like happy warrior. She didn't seem bitter at all, which is just, I could see it becoming so easy when you just have people screaming at you all the time. Unsurprisingly, seemingly a faithful Christian in my conversation with her, and all of her actions have really deemed that to be true. So really cool you got to spend some time with her. I know that, so they actually just sued the NCAA, is that correct?
They did, yeah.
Yeah, so she and about, I don't know, right now. 16 other athletes, right?
Yeah, Logan, 12, are you familiar with the lawsuit? Athletes, I mean, we could probably just jump off, we could jump right off into that if you want.
Yeah, I mean, ultimately, the lawsuit is just saying that they are violating Title IX by giving the awards to a man. And there are about a dozen college athletes that are in on the lawsuit. It's in the courts in Atlanta right now. And so it's in the early stages. I'm excited to see where it goes. But she was talking a little bit about that this weekend.
Yeah, Logan, unfortunately, I don't know if you can do anything about your Wi-Fi. You're kind of cutting in and out, humbling us on the live as well. Yeah, I don't know if you have anything you looked into. If not, cross your fingers, say some prayers. But she went on the Joe Rogan Experience as well. And she was talking a little about what galvanized her into getting into the life that she was. She was supposed to be a dental assistant, as she told me when she was on the podcast. She's like, yeah, I thought I was going to be a dentist. Sorry, not to sell her short. She wanted to be a dentist. And then she has this experience of racing against a man, Leah Thomas, in the pool and tying her, which for swimming is basically statistically impossible. They go down to the 10th of the second.
Tying him, right?
Tying him, yeah. And so they tie and they get up to the podium and the NCAA is like, we're going to let Thomas hold the trophy. And Riley was just like, well, why? There's no rules about this happening. Like, that doesn't make any sense. Why are you giving it to her instead of me? And she said she finally got the guy to kind of break a little bit. She could kind of see in his eyes that he was just like, even I kind of know like what we're doing here is wrong. She's like, it's what the NCAA told me. And so that photo, the famous photo op happens, and that kind of spurned her into this now going all over the country basically and just trying to protect women in sports. It's hard to imagine that there's people that are not behind that message. It feels like a political winner to me to just keep men out of women's locker rooms. And so
What's surprising about this too is that, you know, when this initially was brought up 50 years ago, because we just had the 50th anniversary of this Title IX, when it initially came up, there were a lot of men and women, a little bit more traditional conservative, who didn't want to promote women's sports. And so it was, you know, let's say more conservatives or traditionals, like, no, women shouldn't wear, you know, shorts and play basketball. The sports are for boys, you know. And feminists were like, no, we need equal participation. And a little bit too crazy with some of this stuff. Like, they wanted to make sure that college sports had to have the exact same number of athletes that were female as were male that entered sports. And they kind of went crazy with this. But over time now, what's happened is, because of the sexual revolution, people are embracing every, you know, the edification of the self and whatever your experiences are. And so therefore they've bitten of the apple further and they're pro-trans. And now it's like crazy. It's that the feminists themselves are the ones who are undermining girls in sports. It's truly peculiar.
Not just these feminists or people like this. This is the Biden administration, too, is trying to redefine Title IX. I don't know if you guys have been up on that, but they're trying to redefine Title IX to include people that think that they are the opposite sex. And so completely destroying the whole purpose of Title IX, right? I mean, crazy.
So not only that, guys, I think I fixed my Wi-Fi. Fingers crossed, so say some prayers.
Sweet.
being censored by big media. But no, so with that, I mean, if you read what the actual letter says around their attempted change at Title IX, what they're actually saying is that all these institutions have to go above and beyond to accommodate all these other, you know, whether you identify as a man or a woman or a cat, these institutions have to provide whatever it is to accommodate you for whatever you identify as. So, I mean, that's really, really dangerous. And it's putting teachers and institutions in a bad position. I mean, it's crazy.
Yeah. The ability to punish. So the retribution, I think, is also the part that just blows your mind. Like anyone that would stand up against this actually could be in some legal trouble.
Yep. Absolutely.
Yeah, so and again, this all kind of gets back to, it's so funny. I see articles about like, we can't vote for either person. We can't vote for Biden. We can't vote for Trump. Okay, let's take a look over the last couple of days of the Biden campaign. Okay, so they made history. The vice president of the United States made history by being the first vice president or president to visit an abortion clinic. She visited an abortion clinic in Minnesota. She talked about reproductive health access being a top priority of their campaign. So the Biden administration, not only through messaging, is making that the absolute centerpiece of what's going on, the ability to kill your children, but they're actually making history and being proud of it by stepping foot in these abortion centers. Not just any. We're talking Planned Parenthood, which is kind of the worst of the worst.
Yeah, and actually Planned Parenthood over the weekend sent out a tweet saying, not pro-choice, but pro-abortion. So it's like, The claim that Catholic lefties always had is no one favors abortion. Come on, stop that. They're just saying they're pro-choice or whatever. It's like, they're not saying pro-choice anymore. They're saying pro-abortion. They support it. I mean, how much more supportive of abortion can you get? And we had pro-abortion Catholic politicians, so-called, that previewed this idea of going to an abortion center. That was the Congressman Perriello. He was with Catholics in Alliance for the Common Good back in the day, and he was a congressman of Virginia, and he went to an abortion facility, and now the vice president of the United States. It's insane.
So as that's happening, and we're talking about real, that's a real bloodbath, not to get cute about this transition here, but the video that had everyone going crazy over the weekend was Trump. So Trump was giving a rally speech in Ohio to a very large crowd. And he used the word bloodbath. And I think it's actually worth playing this video because there's just been the dumbest arguments over.
And 2 seconds before he set it up, like he was speaking in Dayton. Now, Tom and I know this because we're Michigan people. But like Dayton, Ohio, too, like a lot of the cities like Fort Wayne, Indiana, Dayton, Ohio, some of these other cities that are even outside of Michigan have a big influence with the automobile industry. So he's going to be talking about this as well. That's why I just want to cue that one up. There.
Big time. So, yeah, Simon, go ahead and run the video.
Here's 34% of the automobile manufacturing business in our country. Think of it. Went to Mexico. China now is building a couple of massive plants where they're going to build the cars in Mexico and think that they're going to sell those cars into the United States with no tax at the border. Let me tell you something to China. If you're listening, President Xi, and you and I are friends, but he understands the way I deal, those big monster car manufacturing plants that you're building in Mexico right now, and you think you're going to get that, you're going to not hire Americans, and you're going to sell the cars to us now, we're going to put a 100% tariff on every single car that comes across the line, and you're not going to be able to sell those cars. If I get elected, now, if I don't get elected, it's going to be a bloodbath for the whole. That's going to be the least of it. It's going to be a bloodbath for the country. That'll be the least of it. But they're not going to sell those cars. They're building massive factories. A friend of mine, all he.
Okay. So if I could separate the two things we talked about, because it's almost become kind of boring for me to talk about the way that mainstream media chops up things and then puts out something to make one thing look another way. The electric car conversation actually is really interesting because this Chinese manufacturer, BYD, has made phenomenal leaps in terms of production and quality, and they're actually a real genuine challenger to Tesla. Now, I remember about, I think it was like 10 years ago, Elon Musk was asked about BYD, like, are they going to be even a competitor? Like, are they even going to be to a place where they can compete? And he kind of laughed and was like, no. And so people are actually genuinely nervous about BYD electric cars because they're made so efficiently. They're really cheap. So if people would have the option to buy them from China, they could legitimately replace what's been essentially a majorly subsidized industry for America, this whole electric push. You think about like the big three manufacturers going all electric. And so to avoid a tariff that's currently put on China for these BYD cars, they would make a factory in Mexico to try to get around the tariff to sell then to Americans to start genuinely competing in a serious way with American manufacturing. And so it's a real problem. And Josh was talking about it in places like Michigan, in places like Ohio. Like, that's bread and butter. These are a lot of jobs for Americans. This has been a huge push from our government as well to try to get these industries off the ground with electric cars. Erica's not here to talk about her relationship with it. So it's just frustrating to me that, like, okay, this is a really interesting conversation. We could have nuanced, you know, policy discussions about, or try to talk about protecting jobs. And places like MSNBC instantly chopped that up and said it's going to be a bloodbath. Trump said it's going to be a bloodbath if he doesn't get reelected again, suggesting that he would promote some type of violence against Americans if he doesn't get elected. And this isn't just anywhere. This was the Biden administration too. I think, Simon, I have that tweet in the doc too. Biden jumped on this as well and said, hey, it's going to be a bloodbath. He said it's going to be a bloodbath if he gets reelected, which obviously false. I mean, we watched this video.
Yeah, so they replayed the whole January 6th stuff, and it was insurrection, bloodbath, riot, which is garbage comment.
It's like,
which
is
has nothing to do with what he said.
It feels illegal. Like, you shouldn't be able to, like, aren't there libel laws or something like that? Because you could just throw the grenade, make this seem like the truth, and then backtrack when you're done. And it's even,
well, here's
it's
the
even
thing.
Better
before
when you have places
social
like
media,
Snopes.
Before social media came along, mainstream media would do this kind of stuff. And, you know, like what Mark Twain said, like, you know, a lie would get halfway around the world before truth had a chance to catch up. I mean, but with social media, there's at least the ability for us to say, he was not talking about a bloodbath, an actual bloodbath where insurrection and riots and civil war, that's not at all what he was talking about. He was talking about the fact you would completely cripple and decimate the automobile industry if Biden got reelected and this energy, the tariffs are put in place and all these energy vehicles are, you know, electric vehicles are the mandate. This is the thing that people don't understand. Here in Michigan, I can tell you, everyone's talking about how, you know, Biden's support for Israel is costing him support amongst Muslim voters in the Detroit area. That is true. But the other half of the equation that people aren't talking about, and why Michigan is very close in the in the polls right now, with Trump actually leading by about 3 or 4 points, is because of the automobile industry reeling from these EV mandates and the car manufacturers not selling as much, and people are worrying about their jobs. So, again, the hyperbole, every politician does this, you know, says, you know, well, this is going to be a bloodbath or whatever. And it's funny watching liberals say how no one uses bloodbath in real conversation. And they just go look at their own Twitter timelines and they used it 5-6 times before. It's kind of crazy. And in fact, actually, this is one where a stop clock is right twice a day. Catholic lefty D.W. Lafferty, Mr. Right Scholar on Twitter, he said, he actually was surprisingly normal in this whole discussion. He said, because George Conway, you know, Kellyanne Conway's husband, was going off about, like, so what if we use bloodbath? And, you know, don't back away. He was defending the media's mischaracterization of this, George Conway was. And D.W. Lafferty's like, no, truth matters. That's one of the big greatest lessons from the Trump phenomenon. You know, he's going to get his digs in as he says this tweet, of course. But he says, from Breitbart on, many conservatives decided that cleaving to the truth was a loser's game and went all in on weaponized spin and manifesto. Now it's their world. Cleave to the objective truth. So, of course, he's still got to get his digs on the conservative media.
Of course.
But it was nice for him to actually say, no, actually, don't spread this false concept of that Trump was calling for in the insurrectionist bloodbath.
Logan, sorry, I know you've been kind of in and out. Did you have anything you wanted to say?
Other than I hate electric vehicles so much, and any mandates around EVs, like, that's like, I've become a single issue voter, and I will vote against anybody who thinks that EVs are a good idea. But that I obviously have a personal hatred that goes to from a very long story that if you were at the last CV staff retreat, you probably heard me complain about.
Well, I think Erica's texting you right now, right? She's texting you to say that. That sounded fresh out of Erica's playbook.
I didn't know Erica and I have a shared hatred.
You do.
So,
yeah. Oh, there she is. Hey, look who it is. Yeah. Erica Aaron. Yes, Logan.
In the comments. We miss you, Erica.
We miss you, Erica. We miss you. All right. Sorry, Logan. What were you saying?
It just tells us that the CV has got a matriarchy, and the matriarchy hates EVs.
Sorry, go ahead, Logan.
It's true. It's true. So, but on top of that, we're so used to it by now that Trump says one little thing and they're just going to run with it. And then bringing up January 6th, it's like, oh my gosh, like how many times can they bring that up? I mean, we should have a drinking game by this point. It's insane. And I, at the end of the day, I think people are just so tired of it. It's like, oh, okay, like moving on.
Yeah, I don't know how much green it actually is. If I could, though, can we bring up the Snopes fat check, Simon? I have it in the doc. So there's a new, this is the new to the fact check game. I have not seen this before, but this is, I guess, the way that fact checking works now. So usually fact checking works as true or false. It's pretty binary. Something is either true or something is false. That's fact checking in my day.
That's what you think it would be, right?
Yeah. So if you could click on one of those, Simon, bring it up. So they Snopes did a fact check on the bloodbath comment. So it says, did Trump say it will be a bloodbath for the country if he doesn't get elected? And so it said correct attribution, which almost sounds a little bit like inadmissible or like something Pope Francis would have said. But it means that this rating indicates that quoted material, speech or text has been correctly attributed to the person who spoke or wrote it. So notice, not true, not false, correct attribution. So if you go over to the next one, Simon. We have, did Biden use racial slurs in the Senate? Social media users twisted Biden's words from a Senate Judiciary Committee hearing in 1985 by omitting their context. So it has, it's true that Biden said the words captured above during the course of a U.S. Senate hearing, but the presentation seen here omit the crucial context that Biden was expressing neither his own words nor his own thoughts, and they label this as false. Josh, do you remember the racial slurs used in the 1985 speech? That'd be a really good
And I don't know
point.
Enough about that to opine on it. I know that he's made comments that are racially based outside of the Senate, like when he was, you know, talking about you can't get go to a, you know, 7-Eleven without hearing an Indian accent, which, you know, like, he's a Democrat, so he can get away with saying something like that without people losing their minds. You know, but if I said that, like, people would go crazy, right?
It could have been the racial jungle comments. I remember he's like, I don't want my kids raised in the jungle, speaking of inner city. But anyway, kind of all beside the point, right? So we
just
have
like
true
if
and false.
The fact check thing, you know, like, it would be fair to actually say, okay, it is correct that Trump said it would be a bloodbath if he were not elected. But you should say, you know, the whole point is that's not what's in dispute. You really need to say is, you could say something along the lines of true but misleading. In other words, that's not really the problem. It's the problem is that he said the automobile industry would be, there would be a bloodbath in the automobile industry if he weren't elected. So again, it's like, what is the whole point of reporting on things? Is it to try to help people understand better, to have a better understanding of what's going on, to know things? But the media have no problem, you know, stating something that they hope people are, you know, take the wrong way because that's what they want.
So you heard it here first. Snopes is in the pocket of the liberal media.
Oh, yeah. I mean,
oh, of course.
No surprise there. I guess maybe the problem is like, again, how people like to present themselves as, oh, we're impartial. We're just here to fact check. I think for a while, people maybe believe that. They're like, oh, is it true? Is it false? It's a 50-50. And now we've gone so far as to say correct attribution instead of true or false. And then it's just become so obvious. A lot of these people have it out for people of a certain ideological bent. Maybe it's a good thing it's getting exposed, but maybe it always was that way. So, Logan, I have a story I want to talk about. You presented this, and as a fellow Gen Zer, worth discussing. So, Simon, if you pull up the Axios, the Gen Z. So Gen Z, I got to say, is pretty gay. So a record 7.6% of U.S. adults now identify as LGBTQ+, and Gen Z is by far more likely to identify as LGBTQ+ than any other generation. So we're talking about 22.3% of Generation Z identify as LGBTQ+. And that is the closest one to it are millennials with 9.8%. The silent generation really bringing up the rear at 1.1%. But
yeah, it is that.
Yeah. Logan, why did this one jump off the page to you?
Well, first I want to say sorry to our peers when they've complained about dating. I didn't realize how bad it was. It's because the dating pool is actually smaller, apparently. I mean, like, gosh, it's tough out there to be a Gen Zer trying to find a spouse. Yeah, I mean, I think at the end of the day, this really...
Actually, there's something to be said for that, Logan. Think about this. What if you really truly believed the hysteria over climate change and thought the world was going to end, and you thought the solution to all of our problems was to see the world population go down dramatically, then wouldn't you convince the new generation to consider, you know, all the different colors of the, you know, rainbow flag? So if you, and certainly the trans stuff, like if you,
if you change your
gender, you'll probably become sterile. You're not going to have children. So I think this is actually, you want to talk conspiracy stuff.
Wait.
Like, it,
Josh, you got to explain that
elites,
logic there. You said if you're more likely to think the world is going to end because of climate change, you'd be more likely to embrace the rainbow flag?
Right. So if you're the elites and you think the world is going, you know, the world's overheating, you believe this climate hysteria or whatever, the last thing you want is more family formation. The last thing you want is more people have children. So why not, you know, push on kids this kind of LGBT porno book agenda where they're reading all this stuff and they're discovering their sexuality and they're even transitioning their sex, right? Because, of course, you transition, a lot of those kids will never be able to have children of their own if they do that. And if you get the, you know, if you can, I mean, I'm of the opinion that if you look at those numbers, we've been able to convince more people to become,
gay. Yeah.
Right? And
that's so, an interesting.
I mean, unless you use IVF, you're not going to be able to have any children. So it involves all the LGBT activism results in fewer family formation, fewer children being born.
This is like 2012
it's
overpopulation
disaster.
All over again.
Sorry, Logan, what were you saying?
Oh, I was just saying it's like 2012 when they were trying to say that the world was overpopulated. That was like the biggest talking point, telling people to stop having children because there wasn't. And then like someone ran a study and found that you could fit the entire world in the state of Texas with like 4 acres per, like, I don't know, 4 people.
Everyone have at least an acre, right? Yeah,
yeah,
I mean,
or
it's
something
a joke,
like that.
Right.
Yeah, yeah. And
yeah, things. I guess.
But no, I think at the end of the day, I agree with Josh. I think that there's obviously a bigger movement going on. And I think it also feeds into the Gen Z generation. Like, they want to be seen. They want to be a part of something. Like, there's, like, this, like, very loving, touchy-feely vibe, very emotional. I think that most Gen Zers can recognize. And I think the LGBTQ community gives an identity to people who feel like they're searching for something. And maybe that something is God and they should redirect, but who am I to say?
No doubt.
Well, part of it is that, like, when I'm Generation X, okay, so then I remember the analog days. I remember people using VCRs and all this other stuff. And then the internet was a thing that happened, you know, in my adulthood. And, you know, you go online and you create, like, a username and you upload a photo or something like that. And so what happens that, I mean, for me, it was just like, okay, here's a mugshot of my bald head and here's my name and whatnot. That's okay. But of course, a lot of people look at that and they come up with an interesting name and they think of themselves as a different identity. What's my identity as I go online, as I go digitally? And so there's that thought like, well, I can be, I somehow am the creator of this identity and I can be whoever I want to as I communicate with other people digitally. And if you get too obsessed with that kind of screen life, you can think that you can alter somehow your own body that same way and just it can be whatever you want it to be. That is obviously not true. And we're finding out now people are going through, you know, these life-altering surgeries and, you know, it doesn't work as easily as it does an online avatar.
Yeah,
is what I'm trying to say.
I mean, to both of your points, though, It seems like in a time with heightened anxiety, people are looking to go to groups that make them feel comfortable. They're seeking a type of assurance. And so for Catholics,
which is natural.
And for Catholics, if we have an assurance that, you know, the battle's already won, we have a community of people that we can worship together, we can lean on each other, we of course are supported by the graces present in the sacraments, that leads to like a lower anxiety where I don't feel like I need to go create an identity or I need to be someone who I'm not. I can just exist. I already know who I am, basically. And so I have to say, though, I think that the marketing campaign of like the LGBTQ community has been phenomenal and is probably worth learning a little bit from, because they've so aggressively sought out people that feel lost and present their lifestyle, their community, as one that will make them safe, as one that will make them feel who they really are. They can be who they really are.
Evangelize.
It's complete evangelization. And I actually think in a lot of ways, Catholics have failed in that, or maybe conservatives have failed in that, where we have, it, like the conservative ethos, it feels
like. You know, actually funny.
Yeah, what's up?
I was invited on Fox News, and there was a segment on there, and I actually made the comment about how, like, well, you see the bumper stickers, the rainbow crowd, they are a big time evangelist. You know, I just sometimes wonder if Christians were as good evangelists as the rainbow crowd, we would truly retake back this country. And even though Fox is a conservative channel, I was to never back again after I made that comment.
Suspiciously never invited back, yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, but I think there's a lot to learn there. I guess I just, the more and more I see today of, there's two ways to look at things. It's like, well, LGBTQ youth on the rise. It's like, oh, that can make me sad and I can be angry about that. Or I can maybe learn from some tactics of successful groups. Like if you look at that, they've been very successful. All right, so now how are we going to take some of the tools that they've used from success to offer people a path, like a lifeline to a lifestyle will actually make them happy? And because I truly do believe like what the Catholic Church is saying is true and will make you feel fulfilled and will make you happiest. And I know what won't make you happy is being sterile, not being able to have kids, all the diseases that come with lifestyles like that. It really makes me sad, but it's like, I need to sit, like, how are we losing? How can we do better? I don't know. Logan, I don't know if you have anything too. I mean, we're of course both Gen Z, but what would you say like the best way in your mind is to start pushing back against some of that, maybe offering people a lifeline?
Yeah. So I think one thing that it's important to remember in the gay community, polygamy is norm. And so I know my Wi-Fi is like struggling over here, but polygamy is the norm in the LGBTQ community. And I think that you're seeing a shift in some people who don't want that. I think Gen Zers, I was reading a study the other day, Gen Zers don't want to accept the polygamous nature of the gay community. And so it's kind of like saying, okay, well, you obviously have issues with big parts of this community, big parts of what it's based upon. Why is this community making you unhappy? They're supposed to be fulfilling you. And kind of starting to just speak truth around, and not necessarily saying pray the gay away, but saying, you know what, like there are other options.
Yeah, I can tell you what's not happening. I know I saw it. It was a Pope Francis. He's going to write his own biography, I think, and said,
what could go wrong?
I know, exactly. What was the comment he said? Something about...
He made a comment saying that he was okay with civil unions.
Yeah, like letting them live out. I want to find the exact quote because I don't want to. Whatever it is just is not helping. I don't think like the church kind of tried to meet people
sum
in the
up
middle.
The papacy.
Let's see. Pope Francis says an autobiography due on March 19th that while homosexual marriage remains impossible, this is not the case for civil unions because, quote, it is right that these people who live the gift of love can have legal coverage like everyone else. This contradicts a 2003 document issued by CDF prefect Cardinal Joseph Ratzinger, which concludes, the church teaches that respect for homosexual persons cannot lead in any way to approval of homosexual behavior or to legal recognition of homosexual unions. So we see two paths there. It feels all too common to have Pope Francis, unfortunately, attack the positive faith and wisdom from previous popes in a lot of instances, probably the worst being Pope Benedict. So much of what Pope Benedict has just been instantly contradicted by Pope Francis and everything he's done. It frustrates me to see a push towards...
You just invite the next Pope to, you know, come in
exactly
there and
right.
undo everything Francis did.
It destroys a lot of the goodwill, I think, or a lot of the natural respect that you have from your predecessor, because nothing that any of these popes are inventing is brand new. They're all just further revealing truth that's already been revealed to us through divine revelation.
Now, I would say this. While I do like Pope Benedict, I love him a lot, there was at least one thing he did I did not like, and that he beatified his immediate predecessor. And I just thought, you shouldn't do that. And, you know, you should just have a little bit more of a continuity first. And so what does Francis do? Oh, man. It's just, you know.
Wait, what's your issue with it?
The institution of the papacy should span the generations and decades. And, you know, it should.
Josh, if you could be explicit, what's your issue with the beatification of the predecessor?
I just feel like, you know, let some time go by. You know, like it used to be that you go 100 years before you become a saint. You know, you let the kind of time develop. And there was such a close relationship between those two. It's almost like I'm not going to allow my personal judgment to affect the case on whether or not he should be beatified. So he should have been like, I'm just not going to rule on this one. The next guy can do it. And just let it be at that. Because then you could run into this situation where everyone immediately beatifies the next guy down the line. I mean, look, every pope since Vatican II has now been, you know, canonized or whatever, just about, or at least beatified. And it's a little crazy.
Yeah. No, I see what you're saying. Logan, while we have you, you're the director of the Catholic Vote political team. Any updates? Interesting. What are you guys thinking about these days?
Well, I mean, you do have Josh, who is definitely a brain on the political team as well. So
we hear from Josh. We hear from Josh quite a bit. Let's put it that way.
You have quite
too much, huh?
Quite the insight. No, I mean, we have some primaries rolling down the pipe Tuesday, and so tomorrow we're all going to be watching those states like Ohio, where I live. So that's just going to be interesting. We are seeing one thing that's interesting from the political team is we are seeing super low turnout in a lot of states. And I mean, I think most people are attributing this to the excitement around President Trump running unopposed. The excitement's kind of gone for the primary season. And I think most people are just really looking forward to getting towards the general election and seeing what goes down there. But yeah, I mean, we have some big races. The Senate race in Ohio, we're keeping a close eye on. But as far as what are we looking forward to, we're just looking forward to hitting the ground running. And like actually getting started on stuff. Our immigration ad, which I know we watched last week, that's been going out. We've been having an amazing response to that ad. And I think people are just so tired and they're waking up and they're seeing like, hey, this is an issue. And even people who live in landlocked states, the Democrats are trying to say like, oh, they don't care about immigration. They do care about immigration. I mean, let's be honest. So yeah, I mean, I think there's just so much energy on the political team right now.
If I may ask, is the low turnout for the primaries problematic to you and the political team?
It depends what type of races you're looking at. When you have low turnout, that means the motivated voters are voting, which often means in certain states, you end up seeing people win elections on congressionals or local level races that you, like the underdog, takes the, and Josh has a more historical outlook on this, but when you have low turnout, a lot of times that leaves a path for the underdog. And so I think that's kind of what we're keeping an eye on and seeing, is that going to be the case this week? Does it cause a problem
now,
for Catholic Vote? No, because we're not involved in primaries right now. So we're just...
Yeah, but I guess what Tom was getting at, the question is whether or not it would what's the impact it's going to have on the general. And I would say with this, Tom, if you look at the polling, and they do this to try to figure out, okay, are Democratic voters more excited about voting, or are Republican voters more excited? And so like in 2018, you know, and 2022, Democratic voters are much more excited in those midterms. And the coalition, it used to be Republican coalitions, the Republican coalition of voters did better in midterm elections. And now it's Democratic voters do better because they're winning over more and more of these upper middle-class white voters, and they are high-propensity voters. And because those people are now in the Democratic coalition, they vote in higher numbers. Okay, That being said, it looks like if you look at the data right now, in terms of motivation, it is Republican voters who are highly motivated. They're not coming out for the presidential primary because, as Logan said, it's kind of it's a done deal. We know who's going to win on both sides. But in terms of like excited, wanting to walk over shards of glass in November to vote, it's the Republican voters this year who are looking much more motivated. And at the end of the day, that does make a difference. Now, it's not everything because everyone only gets one vote. And some people might not be that motivated, but they'll still cast a ballot because they want to stop Trump. We'll see. But polling, I've been saying this for a few weeks now, the polling continues to look very good in Trump's favor. He's leading by 3-4 points in most of the swing states. And if the election were held today, he would win. I mean, so
it's a long road to November.
Is it too late?
Yeah.
Yeah. Is it too late for Biden to turn around? No, he can turn it around. I certainly don't want him to, but, you know, like as Logan says, a long way to November.
A lot can happen.
There could be lots of turns and twists.
Would you say it could be a bloodbath?
Let's hope so.
Tom.
Hey, someone clip this up. Put me on Media Matters. Tom says bloodbath.
I do think that Josh is right. I mean, when studies show that 70% of Americans are unhappy with the direction the country is going, that's never a good sign for whoever is sitting in office. I mean, it doesn't get much worse than that. And so I think Republicans are just so, like, I saw this meme the other day that was like voting for Trump in 2016 versus voting for Trump in 2024. And it was like Mel Gibson. And then it was like Mel Gibson with like the face paint, like screaming, you know? And I think that like summarizes where we are right now. It's like, We need something different. I want to be able to get in my car and not have to spend $30 every time I step outside my house. Bring back President Trump.
But Logan mentioned about the Ohio Senate race. Now, with that, I mean, Ohio is one of the states, as well as West Virginia and Montana, where Democratic Senate incumbents are in danger of losing. And so there could be an opportunity to replace these pro-abortion senators with someone who's pro-life. So we'll see what happens on that. So Interesting races to watch. Obviously, the presidency is the most important
should
race.
Should I get on record VP predictions from both of you? I need you guys on record now.
The list is changing all the time. Speaking of VPs, how about Pence coming out saying he's not going to endorse President Trump?
That was tough.
Yeah. I mean, come on. It's like he's like, they hate me, so let's just double down.
This he's really leaned into that.
Yeah.
It'd be unfortunate for your brand to be anti-someone. It reminds me a lot of like the Liz Cheney's or Adam Schiff's or like these people have nothing of them their own. So, their whole point is to oppose someone else. It's like kind of embarrassing.
Yeah, I mean, we saw what happened to the impeachment voters, the Republican impeachment voters. They all went down in flames.
Get them out of here.
Got to run one of the opposing races to Anthony Gonzalez, so that was fun. I took a lot of pride in that. I was at an event this weekend, and I was sitting at a table full of Democrats. I was like in the lion's den trying to play nice, and everything was fine until they started saying, like, they were trying to find common ground with me, and they're like, Nikki Haley, like, we really liked Nikki Haley. And I'm sitting here thinking, like, yeah, that's the problem. That's why we didn't like her, because
you liked her.
And then she was like, Nikki Haley and Liz Cheney would make quite the duo. And all I could say was, yeah, that would be something. Like, that would be something.
They'd bomb every country on the planet.
They would bomb space. They'd run out of countries to bomb. They'd have to go into space.
Oh my gosh. They would be something for sure.
They would be a defense contractor's dream, no question. Oh my gosh. That's power, families, right there. Power.
Yeah.
Jeez, what a nightmare.
Instead of drill, baby, drill, bomb, baby, bomb.
My gosh, Logan, I'm glad you survived.
So I don't know, like, who Trump is going to pick. It's hard to go with what his gut's going to be for running mate, but I sure hope he'll consider Ohio Senator J.D. Vance. That'd be kind of cool.
It would be, but that also would put my life into disarray, because that would mean another shift in Ohio.
A second Senate race. Yeah.
J.D. Vance has done great. It would be great to have a Catholic voice in his ear. That would be fabulous.
Yeah, totally.
The evangelicals have had their time. It's our turn.
Yeah, right. And now they're saying they'll vote for him. No offense to any evangelicals here in the audience. But all right, so I say we slide into Twilight Zone now. Logan, do you have one prepared?
I went first last time, so I say Josh. Age All before good. Beauty.
I want to check. Josh, you can go first.
Well, I can't even disagree with that comment, obviously. But I thought it was kind of funny. My governor, Gretchen Whitmer, she went to the Gridiron Dinner in Washington, and she made a little riff because I'm guessing all the ladies.
What is the Gridiron Dinner for those uninitiated?
Well, I honestly can't say I know super much about that dinner per se, but I do have to laugh, though, at her comment, because my wife has been, she's on social media, you know, even more than I do, and I have to do it for my job. And my wife keeps saying, what's going on with Kate Middleton? Why do I care? Like, I mean, what are you talking about? My ancestors took up arms against the crown in the 1700s. I don't care about this stuff. And Gretchen Whitmer gave a little comment about that, too. She says, we cannot devote all our energy to figuring out where Kate Middleton is while our politics descend into fascism. I thought that was kind of ironic coming from the governor that made it illegal for me to buy plant seeds, you know? So, yeah. Thanks for the fascism there, Whitmer.
Are anyone watching this on the live, if I've completely avoided this because I don't care at all about royals, if someone could just give a TLDR on what is going on with Kate Middleton to begin with, unless you guys know, I don't. I've completely avoided it.
So my 2 seconds, what little I know is that the family put out a photo of Kate Middleton and her kids, and it seemed like it was a Photoshop picture of her. And so no one has seen her publicly in like well over a month, I guess. And so like, what happened to Kate? You know, where is she? We haven't seen her in a long time. And so now word has finally come out, I think yesterday, that she's going to make an appearance at Easter. So did she have it? It's all of the speculation, you know, the tabloids in London, yeah. You know, going crazy.
It's like all over my social media and I keep scrolling past it because I'm like, I really
yes,
don't care.
Exactly.
I don't care. Though I do hope she's okay. And I hope that, you know.
Of course I hope that she's okay.
Yeah.
You know, maybe this is bad of me, but all I can think about this is how mad this must make the girl that was in Suits. What's her name?
Meghan
yes,
Markle.
This must make her so angry because she loves attention, and to see more attention be put on Kate Middleton probably just drives her crazy.
Yeah. I mean, Kate Middleton is great. I mean, we all love Kate Middleton. I just don't know anything about the royals. When the queen died and people were really upset, I was like, she was old. Like, that was, it was coming.
She was old. That's an astute.
That's what happens.
Astute, yeah, that's
observation.
What happened.
You die when you're old.
Yeah. And I think the newest rumor is that Williams cheated on Kate with her best friend, and they're like, history repeats itself. And like,
oh,
you know.
Gosh. Is Erica, I can't remember if Erica was a Royals fan. If she's still in the chat, you got to chime in, Erica. But man, this is not, I don't know if the direction
for
the
Loopcast.
I
should
do
better being a woman here because I should know what's happening. I'm just like, yeah.
I don't know if the direction for the Loopcast in the future is going to be covering the royal family. I feel like we've done a subpar job and none of us care. So, Erica, if you know anything, we might need to bring you back for
send us
royals,
a lifeline.
Yeah, royals specific content. So I'll
unless we want to talk about having a monarchy here. No, I'm kidding. Joking,
Josh,
joking,
don't
joking.
Do it. I'm going to clip that up too. Josh, pro monarchy, bloodbath.
All right, Alexander Hamilton, get it together.
So, all right, so I'm going to slide into mine now. Simon, if you want to pull up the link. So, NBC News. So, I don't know if you guys are aware, but Haiti is going through a tough time. Their prime minister has been chased out of the country, and it is being run by a man that goes by the nickname Barbecue. And so, things not going well. I could go a lot of different directions with this Twilight Zone. I could talk about the Clinton Foundation, how they basically promised.
So what's the score with this Barbecue guy?
Okay, so this guy Barbecue, he is got the nickname as a kid, I think, and he's kind of known for lighting people on fire and potentially eating them. And so that's kind of his thing. But the problem with Haiti is that two things. Clinton Foundation, a while ago, basically promised to build a port in Haiti because they wanted to bring international business to help their economy. What ended up happening was $2.3 billion were spent to date, and then the port wasn't built, and 55% of that money went to American contractors. So we kind of failed them there, unfortunately. Number two, the CIA was involved with the assassination of the previous president before this prime minister. Sorry, previous prime minister. It's well known now that these informants were involved with the assassination somehow. So that's a little bit suspect as well. So basically, we have altruistically basically said, oh, you know, we care about Haiti when in all by all metrics, we've failed them completely. The last time Haiti was on the radar, Trump referred to them using colorful language, a crap hole country.
Let's just say crap hole.
I'm going to say crap hole country. And the funny part, if I could, Josh, it wasn't what angered people wasn't the conditions of Haiti. It was that Trump said that. So they took the opposite approach, saying that Haiti is already great. Haiti's a great country. It's a great place to live, which is just, I mean, laughably false. All like Conan O'Brien went there, like all these people, they're like, oh, Haiti's great. Haiti's great.
Bill Barr.
It's a third world country that basically lives in chaos. And I feel horrible for the conditions going on there. I think now we are presented with real questions about taking in migrants from a country that is basically lawless and has been taken over by a gang leader. So,
Would it be better if, like, we just let Mexico colonize Haiti? Probably would be.
I don't know what the solution is, but here's what the solution isn't. So basically, there were videos going around of people cannibalizing other people in Haiti. And so if you go back, Simon, if you could pull the article back up again. So this article says that this cannibalism is a right-wing smear against Haitian migrants amid crisis. If you go down to the third paragraph, it literally verifies that someone was eaten in Haiti. Now, so the real problem to NBC News is not that the United States might be bringing people into our country that eat other people. It's that right-wing influencers and Elon Musk are telling people that people eat other people. Now, our current immigration policy, this goes back to how inhumane all this is. There's no verification anywhere. And plus, we're importing people from a country now ruled by a gang, by a guy whose name is Barbecue. So we could be bringing people on boats who we have no idea who they are. We don't know their background. We don't know if they eat people or not. What we do know is that people have been eaten on Haiti. So that's number one problem to me, that you're now passing off to Americans in random parts of the country by bringing in people that we can't verify, we can't vet, we can't do any of this. Number two, they're being brought to migrant shelters. So migrant shelter in Chicago recently just had a measles outbreak. It's the biggest measles outbreak since measles were a problem in America. I can't remember when that was. And it's because we're bringing in migrants and putting them in shelters close proximity, not knowing anything about their health background, not knowing anything about their whether or not they eat people, don't know anything about their criminal background. Now, I have to say, I do genuinely feel bad for Haitians that have to live amidst all this gang violence and are like scared for their lives. But what I can tell you is the answer is not bring people en masse from a place where we know there's notorious gang violence into America to let random Americans deal with this. What would solve all this is a consistent immigration policy that is intelligently designed, ruthlessly enforced, and has the best interest of Americans and everyone else involved. Clearly, that's not been accomplished by the Biden administration or anyone else. And I even saw, too, like, so all these media games are being played now, right? It's like, oh, let's call them right-wing smear job whatevers. So I go back to El Salvador. So El Salvador, Nayib Bukele chimed in on this as well. He said, we dealt with the same problems in El Salvador that are going on right now in Haiti. So El Salvador had MS-13 gang basically run their country, completely paralyzed their economy, living everyday life, because to get into the gang, you basically had to kill people, random people on the street. The worst of the worst, tattooed everywhere, everyone knew about it. Nayib Bukele comes to power, and he basically makes number one priority in the country locking up every gang member in the country, putting them away, making El Salvador safe again. It's now considered...
And then what happens?
It's now considered one of the safest places in the Western Hemisphere, statistically. And people are still... So media games are happening against Nayib Bukele, saying that he's a dictator,
yes,
saying that he's this and that. So maybe my whole problem with all of this is, like, the media, instead of...
Is the enemy of the people.
Is, again, the enemy of the people, but we don't have to live this way. Like Nayib Bukele continues to prove, no one has to live under fear of gang violence if you have the political will to make things happen, right? To actually put away the criminals, to actually...
Yeah, they act like crime is weather. It can't be
exactly.
dealt with.
Exactly. I've seen way too much of that in America, too. Like, in America, people are just saying, like... Because recently, we had that New York City subway shooting, which was tragic. It was between a migrant and someone who was on the subway and shot broad daylight in front of the subway. And people were just saying, like, oh, if you haven't experienced a little bit of crime in New York City, you haven't really lived in New York City. I was like, do you have any idea what New York City was like before 5 minutes ago? Like, if you go back and look at photos right. from the 50s, 60s.
Well, I remember because when I was growing up in the 80s, crime was horrible in New York City. And then I actually got to see it as an adult in the late 90s after Rudy Giuliani had transformed everything and made the city safe again. It was wonderful. It's not like that anymore, man.
No. So maybe I'm just like, my whole twilight zone about all this is like, the media, instead of presenting truth, is attacking people for revealing that cannibals could be coming into the country. And we all just have to accept the fact that cannibals could be coming into the country, and like we just have to live with it. That's just a part of being American. And I, again, back to painting the face of what Logan is saying, I do not want to live that way. I don't have to live that way. I plan on electing someone that has the will to make sure that we don't live that way anymore. And sure, it's going to be a long uphill battle, but I'd rather be moving in the direction of actually solving problems around here instead of working my hardest to visit abortion clinics and kill babies. Like, again, it's also crazy. This isn't the main priority of the Biden administration. The borders are, is Kamala Harris. She's visited abortion clinics more than she's visited the southern border. Like, that is, this all feels like I'm living in a bizarre
twilight
world.
Zone?
In which
that's Twilight Zone.
It feels
right
like I'm
there,
living
baby.
In a Twilight Zone. Like, we're not addressing real problems in the country, and we need real change. Where I'm at.
I will say there was a time when immigration, we knew the people coming into America held similar values as we did. And assimilation was kind of expected. And now it's like cannibals are coming in and you're just supposed to be okay with that. It's just absurd.
Deal with it. And if you make a stink about it, you're the problem. According
you're
to
a
media.
Racist.
You're a racist. You can't handle people eating people
Let
in the backyard.
Let him eat your arm.
I say a resounding no to that. Logan, I don't know if you got one.
My Twilight Zone is the Supreme Court had a unanimous ruling 2 days ago. So now you can get blocked on public officials' social media, whether that's their private social media or their official page. This is huge because it used to be that if you were a public official, whether you were local or all the way up to the federal side, you were not supposed to hide comments. You were not really supposed to block individuals unless there was like a small ruling about if it was like a racial slur or profanity, you could hide those comments. This is a huge shift. The fact that it is unanimous was crazy. And basically, in order for you to block someone, they have to undergo two requirements. One, the post that you are posting has to directly be pertaining to a certain issue that they're commenting about. So like if a state rep is posting about abortion and laws around abortion, and you can go and comment and say, I hate that you are pro-life and I can't wait to vote you out of office. That would be a totally reasonable comment. And then also whoever is in office has to have the particular authority that you're commenting about. So if you're a state rep and a person's commenting about stuff that maybe the president's in control of or the county commissioners are in control of, you can block those comments. This is a huge shift. And I think a lot of politicians are going to be having a lot of fun today on their social media.
Just blocking people.
Yeah, I know I'm excited about it. As soon as I saw the ruling, I was like, I already know who I'm blocking on all these pages. Blocked.
This all feels, again, a little bit besides the point. We're concerned with people blocking other people on social media when...
I mean, have you ever gone to the comment section, even on like on these people's pages? They'll post a photo of their...
We have good comment sections,
oh,
thankfully.
Yeah. Our comment sections are top-notch.
So you go on these politicians' social media pages, and they could be posting a photo of their dog, and they're just getting, like, these massive, like, hate comments.
It's
like,
wild,
that
man.
Are just, like, absurd. And so, but I guess the point is, the Supreme Court is saying it is not your First Amendment right to be able to go on and comment on politicians' social media, whatever you want. And so... I think it's a little interesting that it's, I mean, as a Politico, it's nice to those haters that are constantly commenting horrible stuff. It's nice to know that I can hide those comments.
Wait, Logan, people don't put all nice, rosy, sunshine comments on your stuff?
Yeah, they're all so kind.
That's hard to imagine. I thought you curated quite a community.
So from the real lowdown, we should have like a hate comment section on the Loopcast where we go through all the comments people have commented about me. I lay up at night reading them.
I have thought of finding like comments of the week or something like that when people do have like a really funny out there comment.
Yeah.
It always cracks me up when someone from like an anime picture profile is like commenting, "I hate you." I'm like, dude, you're an anime picture. Like, what are we doing here? Like,
like you hate yourself.
Exactly.
Like, take care of yourself.
You hate yourself so much you won't even use your face as the profile.
I see that we have a comment asking who's making horrible comments. It's never people on our side. That's something I will say. If you go and you look at their social media, I used to joke and say, like, why don't we have like keyboard warriors on our side defending us?
It's because they have lives.
They all have jobs.
Because they're raising children, they have jobs.
They're going to church. They're busy.
They're praying for us. Yeah.
All these people living in their mom's basement, like, typing away.
Totally. Well, Logan, thanks for coming on again. I think this is going to be a regular thing. Shout out Erica if you're still in the chat. But, Logan, thank you so much for taking the time to spend with us today.
Yeah.
And
glad my Wi-Fi figured out it.
Yeah, we're going to need to get that one figured out for the future. It's Chinese involvement, I think.
Yeah.
So if you want to help out the program, you can give us a review, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, 5 stars. We appreciate it. Subscribe to the YouTube. You can like this video, share us around if you feel so inclined. We're praying with you guys. We're almost to Easter here. Keep up the good work with Lent. If you want to email me, loopcast@catholicvote.org. If you want to make comments about my grammar, you can join. I'm forgetting his name now, but I still have to respond to him because I've just seen it a couple times and I've been thinking of a clever response and haven't come up with it. So
I'm just waiting for your wife to correct you now over the line.
Have a clever response for Tom, put it in the comments.
My wife doesn't watch this show. It's okay. I've accepted it.
Oh, she has good taste.
She has great taste. But we're praying for you guys. Pray for us. Pray for the program. We'll see you guys on Wednesday. So we end with St. Thomas More, St. Fidelis, and Our Lady of Guadalupe. Pray for us, and we'll see you guys on the next show. Peace.